particular play, block and check down, and then boom, Jameis gets hit. Now, had the communication would have been there a little better on that particular play, and that happened throughout the day, they could have picked up more blitz. But, you know, you got to give credit to Carolina. They brought it. You know, they brought the defensive plan. They took advantage of the Saints being in a disposition, not using the excuses, but missing coaches on the coaching staff.
Sure.
I heard what Jerron Bushrod had to come back and coach. Zach had to coach. I mean, they legit had to try to fill that void. It really showed this weekend, Gus, how important it is. You know, those assistant coaches aren't just walking around there holding clipboards. They're actually major pieces in the game plan, and that showed.
It's interesting. Take us behind the scenes, Marlon, if you can. What is that like then? Because I keep saying, and I've seen it from my perspective of being on the sideline, a sideline reporter and stuff like that, but you know, you come off the field, you know, you force a punt, your defense. So you come off the field. What's the first thing you do? You get your drink of water and stuff like that, but you go sit down. Take us through what it is that you do as a player before you get back on the field.
So as a player, what we do, that's a great question, Gus. All right, we run off the field, we definitely get the water, and we go sit down. Like, if you're standing around and you're not over there, the assistant coach is like, "Favorite, what are you doing? Get over here. I need you right here, right now." Because we don't know exactly how much time we're going to have to make all these sideline adjustments. So you grab your water. If you notice sometimes, y'all watch close, you'll notice them dudes, the water guys, come over there to them. Like, here go your water, because you don't even have time to go find the water guy. You got to go sit on that bench so that coach could pull out his clipboard and he could point out, hey Marlon, on this particular play. And it's back to the assistant coaches, Gus. That's a great question. The assistant coaches, you got the eye in the sky coaches and you got the coaches on the sideline. All of these guys are in each other's ear. The communication between the coaches, it's so much going on behind the scenes with the coaches because they're communicating every angle. Off Favor Wright got out of his gap. The coach on the sideline couldn't see that. So now that you told that to my coach, he's like, "Hey, Marlon, you got out of your A-gap." And those are the corrections
exactly
that happen on the sideline. And you don't know how much time you have because the offense could turn over.
And that's what I brought up. I mean, literally, again, I'm not making fun of Sean Payton's administrative assistant, but that person's in the press box. I mean, in the coach's box helping call plays and communicate. That person's never done that. Ian Book was helping with substitutions. Now, Marlon, I can give you the headset. You have an idea what to do. But if I told you, okay, you're in charge of making sure the D-line goes in on packages, and you've never done it before, it's a learning curve, I'm sure.
It is, and it speaks on how important practice is for those things, because if you don't know how that goes, it's going to be hard to manage that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel a difference. When I was coaching at De La Salle, Ryan Manalli got me my first defensive coordinator job. So Ryan was a heavy in-the-headphones guy. So we would be communicating all kind of things. And, you know, his brother Justin would be in my ear, "Hey, Marlon, tell Big Rex to scoot over a little bit. Tell him just to do that." I'm a sideline guy. Just as a coach, I hated being up in the press box. I like to be right there in the trenches on the sideline so I can see and put my hands on him right then and there as opposed to the sideline to halftime. So all of that and bringing it back full circle to the Saints, not making any excuses for him. If you look at that talent, you know, the COVID, coaches out of the COVID, the rest of the injuries. I mean, Kawhi Alexander was missing. C.D. Gardner Jr. was missing. I mean, Davenport was missing. You had a lot of, you know, guys missing. And, you know, for Peyton Turner, he didn't even get burned the game before. But he got 2 sacks in that one. You know, so he had to grow up fast for the Carolina game. I mean, they took advantage. Don't get me wrong, Carolina has a killer defensive line and, you know, some cornerbacks that can get it done and Sam Darnold, you know, we talked about him bad last year. Guys. We were like, "Oh, no, he's a waste of time." But, you know, the development of Joe Brady, getting him right, he looks better. So it's so many different things that went into that loss. I didn't put too much vested interest in it at all. I still think Jameis is a great choice. But, hey, at the very end of the day, shoot, Carolina brought it.
D-line, a key position, no doubt, especially when it comes to SEC play. How big a loss is it for the Tigers? The Andre Anthony coach confirming this morning is gone for the season, a 6-year senior. had a big play in that game, in that win, right? And now he's gone.
He did. That hurts me a lot just to hear that news this morning. A kid that really came a long way, just really got better as a defender. He was well on his way. I was actually in the press box talking to a couple of guys about him and his play. He was well on his way, and what a way to go out for your last year on a big play like that, a big scoop and score. But that one hurts me a lot. You hate to lose a kid like that. Definitely the leader on that defensive line, him and Neil Farrell, was leading the team in sacks, led the team in sacks last year. So, you know, I hope this doesn't hurt his stock a lot, because he's a kid that deserves. You know, I had him as a mid-rounder, you know, maybe anywhere between the fourth and sixth, getting drafted somewhere that needs a for sure DN. So, you know, the former Edna Carr defensive end out for the season, that's bad news for the Tigers, if you ask me.
So, look, you get the win this past weekend, but now it's quote-unquote for real SEC play. The two teams you and I talked about that are making news, I think, early in the season is Arkansas and Ole Miss. They look good. They look like they've gotten better. So that's just two additional teams you have to worry about there in the West. Ole Miss put up 61 on Tulane. Matt Corral, 7 touchdowns, 4 on the ground, 3 in the air. Arkansas looked physical again. They play A&M this weekend, and Ole Miss is 2 weeks away from taking on Alabama. How big is this game for LSU against Mississippi State? Auburn coming in on Saturday night on the 2nd of August, of October.
It's huge, Dust. I can't sugarcoat this game at all. Obviously, we had two games after UCLA to kind of get ready for the SEC. I'm not nervous. I do know that Mississippi State is going to come out. They're going to run a lot of crossing routes. They're going to try to do as much as they can. They're going to throw the ball 85% of the time to try to catch out our defense off balance. We talked about Andre Anthony. This is a game we definitely needed him in to add additional pressure on the quarterback. So it's going to be important up front, first and foremost, that the defensive line goes out there and adds pressure. Even if you don't get a sack every time, Doug, I can't tell you how important it is to get a hand up in a quarterback's face, or, you know, come to a quarterback full speed to where he's forced to throw a ball off his back heel. We're going to need that. And that secondary, they have a job. You know, last year, I'm a revenge guy, Gus. And the way that Mississippi State came in there last year, Coach Mike, and just had their way with us, and off of a big national championship year, losing to them at home, I know the seniors on that team, they remember that, and they're going to take that to the field. So, it's an early start. Dudes got to get that broadcast off at 9 a.m. Got to get the coffee and 11 a.m. kickoff.
No doubt, man. So, you know, you got the cowbells to deal with and all of that. Look, I guess the one thing that you do like is on the offensive side of things, you saw a little bit more what you were expecting, right? What was your thoughts on Max Johnson, the run game? You got a young back that Coach O was saying, hey, reminds him of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's high praise.
He does, kinder. I think what Coach Ed Orgeron is doing right now, like with Jamar Chase and back in the day, I recruited these youngsters. I sat in their parents' living room. I told them that they was going to have a shot to compete and play. You know, my older guys aren't really healthy or, you know, contributing the way that I thought that they were going to be able to contribute, particularly in the running game. So I'm going with the young bucks. You know, and that's working for LSU. You look at, boy, we're still having nightmares from this guy with Dillisdale, right? Dak Best, St. Thomas More grad. We had to lose the state championship to them twice, right? You know, he looked really good out there. He's a freshman. Smith, he looks good. He's a freshman. I mean, it was the young guys' game. And I think that's what we can expect going into this. You have Kinder who had Corey Kinder had two games under his belt, and we saw some flashes of greatness. We want to see some more outside ball, right, Gus? He provided that. We saw the Clyde Edwards-Helaire spin in the last game. He provided that. So that's just the push we need in a running game. Now I need that offensive lineman. Come on, Gus. They got to bring it, man. It's cool being next to Gary Brunster. You know, he's a baby, you know, 10 years younger than me. So he just finished in 2018. So a lot of the guys on the team at LSU right now with his teammates. So, you know, you can see the fire in him. Like, come on, man, we got to do better up front. You know, they coming up to us and say, hey, man, I hope y'all still got some eligibility in there. Hello, watch out there now. Unfortunately, we don't. But nevertheless, man, it's the time to go out there and come with some payback.
I hear you, man. Let's see what happens. Obviously, look, I play this and I'll play this for you, whether to get your opinion on it, if you agree or not. But Paul Feinbaum, and it will let you go, Marlon, had this to say yesterday morning on ESPN.
If it goes the wrong way, we will have a topic next Sunday morning, and that is LSU at Mississippi State. Mississippi State, which just got, I mean, has anyone ever been ripped off more at the end of a game? By the officials in this team. If LSU loses that game, that will be loss number two, and topic number one will be Ed O's future.
On the hot seat, based on that game. So like you said, you can't sugarcoat it. A big game for LSU this weekend.
It's huge. I do believe that they're going to fight. So I'm excited about it, Gus.
All right, Marlon Fayrod, as always, man, appreciate the time. Big Fay 504 on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. We'll talk again on Friday.
Holla at the board.
There he goes. Phone lines open out of this break. So Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans.
You don't want to talk about it, seems to me. You just turn your pretty head and walk
and their amazing team members have been helping our Bayou friends and neighbors and communities all over South Louisiana with food, water, ice, and donations since Hurricane Ida hit. Even as some of those Rouse's Markets team members are putting their own lives back together, they are taking care of our communities because that is what Rouse's Markets does every single day. Neighbors helping neighbors. Just one more reason that Rouse's Markets feels like home.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home of strong.
Try out the SiriusXM app free for 1 month and amp up your summer. Plug into over 350 channels packed with ad-free music, plus comedy, news, talk, Howard Stern, live sports, and more. Create personalized Pandora stations and dive into the best collection of podcasts curated just for you. So check out all the great entertainment we have to offer for free on the SiriusXM app.
Home. It looks a little different for everyone. For some, it's a rustic cabin. For others, a big city high-rise. And for others, it's renting a tiny studio that said it had laundry in the building, but the dryer's always broken. And don't get me started on the gym. That's not a gym. It's an elliptical machine and a boiler room. And let's not even discuss parking. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than getting your landlord to return your calls. You can't hide forever, Leonard.
What would you say
you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
By the way, going into that game against Mississippi State, LSU, a 2.5-point favorite. 2.5-point favorite. Going to have much more to talk about that. Chris Blair will join us on Thursday as we'll try to get Wilson Alexander tomorrow or Wednesday. It's kind of get a barometer going into this game. How big do you think that is, Tiger fans, going into it? So start thinking about that and give me your thoughts as we get closer to that game. Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Saints fans still have time to chime into the conversation and give us some of your thoughts here as well. Breaking Doors over on Twitter says the O-line slept the entire game. Run game blocking needs to improve. Offensive play calling needs the training wheels to come off. Second game with a conservative passing options. Winston needs to get out of his head and play without worrying about 30 interceptions. Defensive calls need to improve. So Breaking Doors, not happy about the way that game presented itself yesterday. Sean Payton after the game.
Exact opposite of last week. You know, we became the team that was on the field for however many snaps. We were the team that didn't have any snaps or enough snaps offensively. So therefore, you know, there's an attrition defensively. You know, it's hot. And, you know, we hung in there. And, you know, we're going to watch the tape. I'm sure there's going to be a number of plays we're close to making that we got to clean up. But ultimately, the time of possession was way slanted the other way this weekend. And it's hard to win games that way, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, Saints couldn't get off the field on defense in that first quarter. A mental mistake by a veteran, Marcus Williams, and Malcolm Jenkins. Miscommunication at end ended to, or, you know, helped get that Panther first touchdown in the game. Jenkins, after the game, Malcolm Jenkins, was conditioning an issue?
No, I don't think conditioning or anything like that has anything to do with it. We, you know, obviously practice in the heat, practice outside. You know, it's just hard to defend that many plays, and when you have opportunities to get off the field, you got to, you know, do yourself a favor and get off the field.
28 first downs to 6. It's going to be hard, right? Along the lines, like Sean Payton, Jenkins, what a difference a week makes.
I mean, yeah, I think in the first half last week, we probably had 3 drives on defense, most of which we got off the field pretty quick. And the first half this game, we were on the field for a while. A lot of that, you know, had a lot to do with ourselves not winning on third down, having a lot of penalties, just really shooting ourselves in the foot.
How can this team handle this defeat? He says plenty of leadership members in this locker room. They'll bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, I think our leadership is a strength in the culture that we built over a long time. You know, we know how to win. We know what it takes to win. We got a coach that doesn't allow us to stray away from that formula. And the young guys follow suit. So it's going to be obviously up to a lot of the veterans on the team to make sure that we move past this one the same way we wanted to move past last week.
I think one of the things that you heard Sean Payton talk about yesterday, he also felt bad for that defense.
Again, I thought they battled hard. They were on the field a lot. And if you're down on the field, you felt the temperature and the amount of snaps that they had early. It just, it's not the formula that you need to win games.
One of the things as well that Sean Payton touched on afterwards was, you know, the whole who's to blame sort of thing. And look, it really sort of was a whole cacophony of errors when it came to the offense.
We're not, look, everyone's quick to, I think we got to be careful. We're not assigning responsibility, blame. It starts with me right now. We'll look at the tape tomorrow, but it starts with our plan and us as coaches, and that's where it starts, and that's just the truth.
When you go back over the postgame sound from Teron Armstead, he was a little bit more specific about some of the things that took place in the game that really hindered them. The amount of unblocked pressures. We saw that a lot. Open Panthers coming at you. He says, look, sometimes that happens. That's what you give up. If they have more defenders than you have linemen, you have to pick somebody to release. But the important thing is the quarterback's got to know. Again, I referenced the play against the Jags, the Callaway touchdown, the second Callaway touchdown, 1-on-1 near sideline, you know, front pylon in the end zone. That the Jags had a player coming at Jameis Winston. Armstead picked up the guy closest to the interior. The outside guy, it was, can he get there before Jameis can throw it? There was an open guy. Go back, look at it. There was a guy coming at Jameis Winston unblocked. And he threw a dime for a touchdown. So it happens. You just have to be on the same page with who the linemen's letting go. So then you know where to go.
Yeah, that's communication. Being able to diagnose what they're doing. And like I say, credit to those guys. Disguising coverage, variation, personnel. You know, they got a lot of guys that are doing multiple things, whether they're rushing or dropping. So it becomes a little more difficult to diagnose, you know, who we want to include in that protection. So, I mean, it's just a variation of things, but on our behalf, and then what we can control is our communication, getting our eyes and getting our sets to the right people.
Now, he was asked, was it a lack of effort?
Effort? No, I don't think it was a – I mean, I get what you're saying, but no, I don't think it was a bad effort. I know we put the time and we put the work in throughout the week, and we came out ready to go, you know, for sure. I got to give credit to the Panthers and what they were able to do, able to execute their game plan, possess the ball for an extremely long time. You know, we felt like we had real limited amount of plays, especially in the first half. So, no, I wouldn't say this was a bad offensive effort. I would say more so props to those guys for executing.
Look, again, it's the same thing that you saw with the Packers. Everyone's like, Aaron Rodgers don't care to want to be there. They had like 8 plays. The Saints had like 32-12 or something in the first half. If you don't have plays, you don't have the ball, it's hard to get into a rhythm.
Yeah, look, you're constantly looking to pick up some momentum. You're, despite where you're at in the game and how you've played, you're still in it. You're still trying to generate a drive, but we just weren't able to do that. And again, you know, I clearly that performance starts with me, and I say that I'm just telling you. We're going to watch the tape, and there's going to be a number of plays that we wish we had maybe approached it differently. Start by giving credit to Carolina, but we struggled to find any rhythm.
What are the other aspects of, I guess, that O-line blocking or attempting to? Tryon Armstead said, look, the goal is obviously to move forward. Get better.
We're just in a race to improve from last week to this week. We're just in a race to improve, and that's a broad amount of things. You know, communication is definitely one of them. But we got a lot of things to get better at, and you know, as we go and hit the work week, communication is definitely one of them. But we got a ton of things we need to clean up if we want to be as good as we feel like we can be.
When we come back, we'll hear from Alvin Kamara and his thoughts. He was pretty poignant in terms of where he thinks this team needs to go moving forward into next week as they take on the Patriots. And that game is a noon kickoff over on Fox. Don't forget, folks, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL is DraftKings, putting new customers in the center of the action. The free shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Grab your lineup, pick it. Stay under the salary cap and see how you do against, say, the likes of Jordan and others. Competition world. There's a big difference, though. Unlike our fantasy football league, we are not offering free shots at millions of dollars in total prizes. Now, DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable, whereas Jordan runs our fantasy football league. Who knows what he's doing with your information? DraftKings is not that. They're safe, they're secure, they're reliable. Best part, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. You give Jordan a couple of bucks, you'll never see it. That's for sure. So download the DraftKings app now. Use the code LaRose. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter that code LaRose when you download the app. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville. Call it a mulligan. The Saints with 115 penalty yards, 128 total yards of offense. It wasn't a good Sunday. Carolina 28 first downs to New Orleans' 6. Saints 2 of 11 on third down, 383 yards to 128. Look, it was a beating. Head coach Sean Payton on the loss.
We did a number of things that you just can't do to win a game. Offensively particularly, it's as poor as we've been in a long time around here, and that starts with me. We've got to do a better job going in. Our protection plan wasn't very good. Had nothing to do with us being shorthanded with coaches or us being away or the COVID. All of those would be excuses. They played better than us today and deserve to win the football game.
1-1 now on the season, and coach says, you know what? It stunk. Now all you can do is move on.
It's the truth, and after the full day tomorrow, you know, we've got to refocus and get on to the next game. It's that simple, and we got to be able to put this one behind us the same way we had to do it last week and get on to the next game.
Saints at New England next week. The Patriots are 1-1 following a 25-6 win against the Jets. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadyville.
Napa Know How.
Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa auto parts, Marine and Industrial, Lockport, LaRose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville. And talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa Know How.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Got a few minutes here before we wrap up. About 10 minutes from now. And send on over to Baton Rouge. Matt Muscoden, after further review, no doubt will have his thoughts on the Tigers 49-21 win. And no doubt a big topic of his probably opening monologue will be the loss of defensive lineman Andre Anthony, the six-year senior, done for the season with a left knee injury. Coach Ed Ogeron saying it earlier today and confirming that he is lost for the season. Alvin Kamara, after the game, was just constantly saying, look, not giving excuses. Again, I could keep saying to me, you don't have the coaches, you don't have the players. Man, that's a ton to overcome. Here's Kamara on the loss.
It is what it is. It's early in the season. Come off a win last week. That don't matter. We had a game to play this week, and obviously we didn't get the result we wanted. But like you said, the vets on this team, we know what it is. I mean, it's a lot of football to play, but, I mean, take responsibility. We got to come out better. We got to be better. We got to, to win. Nobody likes losing.
On the lack of a run game.
I don't think we ever even got a run game going, really. I don't know how many attempts we had, but we got to get in a better rhythm. And I think it starts up front with our O-line. And you know, we talk about running the ball. We have to have opportunities for it to start up front. So it is what it is.
17 carries, 8 for Kamara, 3 for Tony Jones Jr. Taysom ran twice. Jameis ran 3 times. Grand total of 48 yards. That was the run game for the New Orleans Saints. Kamara, his thoughts on the lack of an offensive rhythm yesterday.
It was hard for us to get a rhythm. We left our defense out on the field too much. You can't do that. It's not conducive to, you know, a winning game. I mean, we gotta do a better job of kind of finding a rhythm and finding the flow and being more efficient on first and second down. Like I said, it's early in the season. We have one game under our belt where, I mean, the things went good and things were firing, and you know, now looking at this week, you got some adversity and you got to find a way to react and respond. So I don't blame anybody. I think I'm not going to blame anything. It's us. It's on us. We got to do better. It's our responsibility to do better.
He was asked his take. What about the lack of coaches and players? Could that have had an impact in the game?
It wasn't about anybody not being here. I think it was our responsibility to still come out and play without coaches being there. There's no handicap. Nobody cares that coaches aren't there. We don't get an extra second on the play clock because we don't have coaches. We don't get an extra down because there's no coaches. It is what it is. It's still a game to play, with or without. The whole coaching staff could have been gone. They wasn't going to cancel the game. We got to keep going. It is what it is.
Finally, did Carolina surprise them with some of the pressure looks?
Nothing surprising. We just got to communicate and get it picked up.
Is that communication harder with Eric not being out there? Does that change anything?
A little bit, but we just got to communicate regardless.
All right, there you go. So that was Kamara's takes on the game after the game. Heard from Teron Armstead, a little bit from Jameis Winston now, as he thought the fans, Carolina Panther fans, the Kitty Cats, they brought it yesterday.
I think it plays just in terms of tempo, but I'm happy that we were able to experience that. Their fans were definitely into it. I'm excited when we get back home, because I know our fans are going to be rocking way louder than this place. But man, our focus right now is putting this one behind us, seeing how we can improve and get better, and show up next week.
You know, there is something to that, though, right? Like, this team will have been gone 5 weeks. What I think today is week 4 post Ida. They left before that, so it'd be longer than that. It'd be gone 5 weeks. I mean, that's a lot of time to not be in your house. Most of their families now have come back to New Orleans, cleaned up and things of that nature. I hear you. Look, we all like vacations. We all like to stay at a nice 4 or 5 star and all that. I'm just telling you, for what I do every now and then, for women's basketball, I'll go do a, we'll do like the Thanksgiving trip's always the longest one. You go like Tuesday or Wednesday and you're there throughout the week and don't come back to Sunday. I promise you, by the time that day ends, it's like you can't wait to get home. It's nice a day or two, 5 weeks. I could not imagine being in a hotel room 5 weeks, not having your own place, your own couch, your own backyard with your dog or something. That's a long time. Still, again, one of the reasons why I'm not losing it over the game is they're explainable. Doesn't make it any easier. It's still tough to try to understand how you can communicate so well a week ago and all of a sudden this week, but I can explain it. Like, at least in my mind, I can explain it, or it can be explained to me. This isn't a Pelicans situation of years and years of, for whatever reason. Now, if Sean Payton comes up and says, for whatever reason, these guys, you know, didn't focus, didn't play well. I mean, you heard Teron Armstead, it wasn't effort. It was literally communication, and you can see it. Like, it's clear. Jeff Duncan did a great piece writing it up earlier today on the Picayune and the Advocate, and we can go back and maybe bring him in tomorrow, and you can see it with stills and photos. Like, it's apparent. When you see three Saints offensive linemen blocking air, and then three Panther defensive linemen to the left of center coming in to hit Winston, there was a communication issue. And I can understand, I can explain a second game quarterback in the system with that line playing with a center who has been practicing and playing guard all off season. I mean, like, I can explain those things. To me, I didn't watch that yesterday and say they were flat. Carolina came out with a heck of a game plan. On offense, it took Dennis Allen about a half to adjust. If you notice, before that last touchdown, Carolina, I mean, they were only up 17-0 going into the fourth. If the Saints had done anything,